From WJCT in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
I'm Sean Birch.
And this is Deemable Tech, episode 82. Demand for Deemable Tech is crazy off the hook.
The Deemable Tech podcast is brought to you by A Small Orange, homegrown hosting, a refreshingly different approach to web hosting, on the web at asmallorange.com.
Thanks as always to our Redditors. Go to reddit.com/r/deemable or deemable.com/reddit to vote for which stories you think we should talk about on this show and to submit stories of your own.
Mm-hmm. But before we jump into the show, could I ask a favor of you?
Of me?
Nope, not you.
Of me?
Nope, not you. You listening to the show right now. If you happen to be listening to Deemable Tech on our website, you know, deemable.com, would you subscribe to the show? You can do it on iTunes. You can do it on Stitcher. We're not too picky, but subscribe. And while you're on there, while you're at iTunes or Stitcher, would you leave a review and maybe say a few nice things about us? It'd be kind of nice. We'd appreciate it. The more subscribers we have and the more reviews we get, the more people will find our show. And we'd like to have them find our show. I'm not saying that we have to hit the iTunes 100, but I wouldn't be upset about it. So if you do that, we'd really appreciate it. And make sure to share Deemable Tech with your friends on the Facebooks and the Twitters. But let's get right into the big stories in the tech world for this week. Here is this week's rundown.
Okay, who is up for Mario Kart in real life?
Me?
Nintendo announced during an earnings call this week that it is partnering with Universal Parks and Resorts, which runs the Universal Studios theme parks, to create Nintendo-themed rides and attractions. This is a real thing.
Oh my goodness, I didn't read the script beforehand. This is amazing.
It's actually happening, yeah. Nintendo has not announced any specific details on what of its properties would be adapted into rides, but it seems like a safe bet that it's going to leverage long-lasting and popular characters in games like Mario, Zelda, and Donkey Kong. Mm-hmm. And in fact, Universal executive Tom Schroeder said pretty much exactly that in a press release. Quote, nice. The immersive experiences will include major attractions at Universal's theme parks and will feature Nintendo's most famous characters and games.
That is amazing. Did I reveal too much that I was excited about this?
I'm there. I am there with bells on.
Okay, so it doesn't sound like this is going to be its own park. Is it going to be? Or it's going to be like,
I feel like it's going to be part of Universal.
It's going to be like a Universal, a world at Universal,
but
like,
you know,
Harry
they have
Potter
like the
world.
Harry Potter section, so that's cool.
Okay.
I mean, that's really well done, though. I love Diagon Alley.
I feel like there's enough content that they could create an entire Nintendo world.
They could.
But, you know, I think it's a good idea to test out the waters, maybe, and, you know. You know what this makes me think, though?
What?
You know, there's a large property that I'll bet they are looking at losing.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm thinking about.
Banjo-Kazooie.
That's...
I don't know what either of you guys are talking about.
You guys don't remember Banjo-Kazooie?
Well, no, I've heard of Banjo-Kazooie. It's that big weird thing. But
no idea what you're talking about.
You know, it was an N64 game. Actually, I think Microsoft actually owns that now.
Not Nintendo losing a major property. I'm talking about Universal losing a major property. Okay, so for if we do have any crossover of tech nerds and Disney geeks, you know, Disney bought Marvel. And right now at Universal Studios, all the Marvel characters are there.
Yes.
And they do have an extensive license pretty much to the end of time.
Lifetime rights to the theme park.
The comic book characters, not the movie characters.
Yes, that is correct.
And now the comic books are coming from the movies. So they don't have the rights to use those comic book characters, which is really weird because it's still Captain America, but or Thor or whatever. But so the comic book characters at Universal look kind of aged since they're not the modern version that we're used to in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I feel like they've always looked aged.
they've always looked old.
Yeah.
But, you know, with Disney owning them, Disney doesn't like their properties being used by other people. So I could see that Disney's trying to work something out with Universal and say, hey, let's buy that back from you. And Universal's going, well, we're going to have all this open space. Let's figure something else out.
Yeah, it could be.
Just a theory. Yeah. Just a theory.
What I want is I want to be able to break bricks with my head and get a coin.
Yep. I would not mind LARPing as Zelda through.
You want to be Zelda? You want to be Link. That's a new side I haven't seen before.
Oh, I'm.
Yeah, you want to be
a big
Link.
Old school. Yeah,
not Zelda.
Yep. Moving on. The FAA sent out a warning on May 1st that Boeing 787s may have some terrible computer problems that could cause your terrible, terrible death.
How bad can it be?
It's pretty bad. Mashable reports that the administration discovered the computers in 787s, which, I mean, you guys understand, planes these days are basically just big computers.
With wings.
I mean, everything is computerized, especially in these new Dreamliner 787s. But the computers in the 787s have a software counter that periodically shuts down all electrical systems, which results, and I quote, in loss of control of the airplane. Now, I am not an aviation expert, but I think that that is just a bad thing. Am I right in assuming that, guys?
Yeah.
Total loss of control of the airplane?
That seems bad.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with bad.
Now, to Boeing's credit, they are working out a software update that will eliminate the problem. But until then, they have issued a workaround. If you work in the IT industry or you've ever worked in technical support, you're probably familiar with it.
Hello, IT. Have you tried turning it off and on again?
Yes, folks, it's the IT crowd fix. Just call Roy and Moss or your plane will crash to the ground.
Oh wow. Yeah. That's a little scary. Now, the 787, is that the one that had like the battery fires, isn't it?
Yes, that is the one.
It's been a really troubled plane.
Yeah, and they are looking at the 787 as being their savior to get them out of the 747 era. So this is not good news for the 787. Fortunately, there's a lot of them that haven't been shipped yet, so they can fix them before they go out. That's good, you know. But yeah, apparently, just under a year, there's a issue where they have to completely shut the plane down, completely shut down all electricity, and then turn it all back on again. Which, airplanes, I mean, most of the time, they stay on all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's not normal for them to get shut completely off, so...
Now, what about when the calendar reaches the year 2000? Are all the planes going to just drop out of the sky?
It's going to be the year 3000. They're looking to that to see what's going to happen.
What will happen to our computers when that happens?
The same thing
that happened with the Y2K?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Listen, you guys joke, but seriously, when the year 9999 rolls around, we'll all be dead. But you should be glad we'll all be dead.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm so glad.
All right. Going back a little bit to jump off your Nintendo Land thing, there is other news out there that probably has some gamers jumping for joy this week.
Ooh.
Oculus announced this week that the first commercial release of their hotly anticipated virtual reality headset, the Oculus Rift, will be coming out early next year. The first quarter of 2016 is what they said, so probably end of March, somewhere around there. The company also released some promotional images of the sleek final consumer product after several years of prototypes being out there, going out to development companies and everything. It's very cool looking. If you've never seen an Oculus Rift headset, I don't know a good way to describe it. It kind of looks like you're wearing ski goggles.
I thought it was like the Game Boy Advance.
The Game Boy Virtual Boy.
Virtual Boy, yes, yeah. On your face.
The Nintendo Virtual Boy, yeah. It's a little sleeker than that.
Okay, that's good.
Now, Oculus first made a splash in the world, in the gaming world specifically, at the E3 Gaming Expo back in 2012.
Oh, that's right. That was a while ago.
Yeah.
Followed by a very successful Kickstarter campaign. Yeah. I think they were looking to raise $300,000. They raised like more than $600,000. It was a crazy...
At the time, yeah, they were the biggest Kickstarter ever.
And they also kind of kicked off a virtual reality race. Now, by that, I mean it's a real race.
Like a master race, virtual reality beings?
Yes. Kind of an arms race kind of thing with other big companies like Sony and Valve and HTC are working together on releasing their own VR products. And they all kind of look the same. They're all kind of headsets that you wear, and that's how you would experience games or other software. Instead of looking at a screen, you wear this, and you can look around like 360 and really be part of the experience.
I'll worry about Valve when they get the Steam box out.
Yeah, exactly. That's
see, the problem I have with Oculus is every time they issue a new update of the news feed, you know, it always changes and I never know where to find my pictures. Making the joke, of course, because Facebook bought them.
That's true.
Oh, that's
but
true.
That was the strangest announcement too when Facebook bought them. Like, it didn't expect that. Like, Sony would have made sense. You know, a gaming company would have made sense.
You have to wonder what Facebook wants from them.
Yeah.
I can explain this.
Okay.
Mark Zuckerberg is like, dude, that's so awesome. I have billions of dollars. I'm going to buy it.
Oh.
That's how it went. I guarantee it.
It works. Yeah, I remember Notch, the developer from Microsoft. Or Microsoft. Well, he sold to Microsoft, but Minecraft, yeah, he really was against Oculus going to Facebook. But
how do you guys feel about virtual reality?
I'm in favor of it.
You think you would game that way?
I think so. Like, you can already kind of try it out because you can basically rig up your own VR set using your smartphone.
Yeah.
Have you done that? Cardboard?
I have not. I would like to try. I know for me, I'd probably like, I have some neck troubles, and I'm guessing unless I get one, I would need a really lightweight headset. So
yeah.
I'm guessing the cardboard rig isn't going to be super comfortable for me. Yeah. But I would love, like, I love the idea of the experience, and I think if it done well, it sounds super awesome. I want to sit in the cockpit of my own spaceship.
Yeah.
I want to walk into a room where everything is made of photons, and I can touch and feel stuff. That's what I want. I want the hologram, the holodeck.
The thing that's interesting about...
Until then, it's just not... It's like, whatever. Anyway, that's cool.
Do you want the danger room from X-Men? Or are you...
No, I don't want the danger room. No.
Even though they're basically the same thing.
No, it's different.
The interesting thing about the Oculus Rift and the other two, the one from Sony and Valve and HTC, is that the ones from Sony... In Valve and HTC, they have components for your hands.
Mm.
The Sony one uses the same PlayStation Move kind of controllers.
That makes sense.
But the Oculus one, they haven't really said anything as far as that goes.
Mm-hmm.
So with the other ones...
how do you play it?
Yeah, like you can actually experience things. You can move things around. They have buttons on the controllers. Yeah. But they haven't really announced anything, so I wonder if you would just be wearing the headset and then you'd have a controller
kind
of take you out of the experience a little bit.
Well, I think people think, the obvious game for this would be a first-person shooter, and I don't know if that's necessarily true, because that's such a full body thing, and if you can't do everything your body could do, it's kind of feel really weird in your head. So games, I've read articles, they actually talk about, people come up with, platform games where you can, zoom in on the game and zoom out and stuff and rotate around. They say that's really cool.
Oh.
The space flight simulators are said to be really cool because you have a joystick and you kind of expect how it's going to work.
Or racing games.
Racing games.
You're sitting there basically stationary in one place.
But that said, there is a company, not one of these companies, but there's a company that makes kind of a platform that you are suspended on. You can walk on it, sense your footsteps.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Who knows? Maybe people will come up with rigs that are accessories to these VR headsets that make all this kind of stuff really fun to do.
I've played a few games on my iPhone, on the iPad, that use your location and you move around and the gyroscope and all that. And I found that the problem is you end up needing a whole room just to play the game.
Yeah.
Because you kill someone if you don't, or you come close to it.
And all the...
I literally hit my daughter by accident one time playing one of those games.
Oh, man.
Sorry, Charles Zoe. Abuse.
I guess the way that these VR headsets work is that... Well, there's a couple different ways. The Oculus one and the one from Sony, it's basically one camera that you would set up above your TV or whatever.
Okay.
And it...
It'll track your head movement.
Yeah. There are sensors in the headsets that it'll follow it so it knows what you're doing. The other one from Valve and HTC, I was reading that you set up two little things in the corner of whatever room you're in, and they basically shoot out lasers, and they use those to kind of figure out where you are in the room. And I guess it's a much better experience than the other ones where you just have one. Camera looking.
And do those lasers zap you inside the computer?
They do. Yes.
And you run light cycles.
That is correct.
Wait, this that Was there another product that worked like that? Because that sounds really familiar.
No, I made that up just now.
Oh, it's not Call from like Disney. A script of a movie?
No.
Yeah, oh, okay. I don't know. It doesn't sound
definitely not.
It does not sound familiar to me.
Speaking of interesting things that have come out, one of the most interesting tablets to come out, other than the iPad, in my opinion, has definitely been the Microsoft Surface.
Yeah, okay.
Now, sure, it's had its share of troubles. You know, it came out originally with Windows RT, which was this weird stripped-down version of Windows. It had two different interfaces at first. It had the desktop and the tablet UI, which really confused people.
It was made by Microsoft.
It was made by Microsoft.
That's also confusing.
But it was really an incredible design that, you know, really changed the marketplace, making it a serious contender for a laptop replacement. And one of its signature features was the coveted, and I will say that honestly, it's very coveted, I wanted one of these, the kickstand that could hold the tablet in one of three different positions.
That's my kickstand sound.
That's your kickstand. I like that. Now, The Verge is reporting that Redditors have discovered a secret fourth position for the Surface 3 kickstand. Apparently, if you keep pressing the kickstand back after the third position, it will break away and fold all the way back.
So they just broke their tablet.
No. It actually, it will even go back into position. And it does kind of create this fourth position where it just props it up a little bit, which is kind of nice. I mean, it actually works okay. Apparently, though, this was not an intended feature. it was actually a mechanism to prevent it from breaking. Microsoft said in a statement that the kickstand contains a safety mechanism unique to the Surface 3 to help protect the device, but the mechanism is not designed for use as a fourth kickstand position. So it might work once or twice or maybe even a few times, but it's probably going to ruin your Surface 3. And to be clear, this is only the Surface 3 that this works on, not the other versions of the Surface. So if you try this on your Surface RT, you will have a broken Surface. Don't do that. And honestly, you probably shouldn't try it even with your Surface 3, because the lesson here is, you know, like Mom used to say, don't play too rough with your toys, you know? Just like a Slinky, once you bend it out of shape, you can't bend it back, despite what they tell you in Toy Story.
Okay.
Anybody get that reference? Anybody?
No.
You know, at the end of the movie, Slinky is hanging out of the back of the truck, and he gets strung out for like a half a mile, and he just, whoop, right back into shape. That is not how it works. That is not how it works in real life, people.
I'm just surprised that he's able to stretch out for half a mile. Is that how long a city block.
But still, man. I mean, it's ridiculous. And there's no way that that Slinky Dog would have been ruined.
That's why I can't watch that movie.
Yep. But also, you'll ruin your Surface 3 if you keep breaking it. And it really does sound like you break it. Like, it's like you have to push it so hard, and then all of a sudden, crack!
What's the kickstand sound? Is that what it sounds like?
I don't think that's exactly what it sounds like, but yeah, we'll have a link in our show notes. Click it and you can go to The Verge and see. They have a great animated GIF of them pushing it into the fourth position, and it's painful every time. You're like, oh, it's like feels like a broken bone when it goes snap. Yeah. Like, so there you go.
Well, speaking of things not being used the way that they were meant to be used. Last week, we told you how you can or could embed and play classic MS-DOS games in tweets.
That's right.
Oh, right.
Sadly, it looks like Twitter has put a stop to that.
Damn you, Twitter.
It was discovered last week that Twitter users could embed these games from the Internet Archive site into tweets using Twitter's cards widget. That's the system that allows videos and images and other media to be displayed in line on Twitter and the Twitter stream. But it turns out that that's kind of against the rules. It turns out that embedding in interactive media, specifically games, is against the terms of service for Twitter cards.
It's a very specific terms of service entry.
Yeah. You can, however, still play these games on the Internet Archive site, archive.org, so no loss there, but Yeah, those people that just live on Twitter, you won't be able to do that anymore.
And of course, Sean highly recommends Suburban Commando.
Suburban Commando, yes. Go check that out right now. You can play that, and then you can play Banjo-Kazooie right afterwards.
I'm a Wolfenstein 3D kind of guy.
Oh, okay. Well, speaking of electricity...
And the winner for stretching it the most goes to Tom Braun.
Best segue of the night.
Elon Musk, CEO of Tesla, the maker of powerful electric sports cars, recently announced that his company will begin manufacturing batteries for homes. That's called the Powerwall. Well, this week, Elon Musk announced the demand for their Powerwall batteries has been, and this is a quote, crazy off the hook.
Oh.
Actual quote from Elon Musk. He said they have received over 38,000 reservations, a level of demand which could take them up to a year to fulfill.
Wow.
And orders include over 2,500 companies for their commercial-ready power pack. Now, the Powerwall batteries are designed for a 24-hour charge and discharge cycle, which is kind of ideal in combination with a solar power system. So you could charge them with the solar power during the day and then let them run the house at night.
Yeah.
The batteries are designed to be mounted on your wall, and a 7 kilowatt-hour unit starts at a mere $3,000. So, Sean, Ray, you thinking about picking one up?
You know, I have been thinking about a solar power system for a long time, and yeah, that's the issue. Our electrical authority here in Jacksonville doesn't pay for electricity back to the service.
Yeah.
So it would just be kind of giving it to them, which that's great and all. And if anyone's listening who works for JEA and I am wrong on that, I apologize. I could definitely be wrong. I haven't researched that much into it. So that was my concern, not like maybe it wouldn't be worth it because they don't buy it back. And yeah, that's the thing. Like, I could generate a bunch of electricity in the daytime when I'm not there, and it's useless to me. And I've looked into this. It's not easy to set up a battery system in your house to store that energy. It usually is pretty...
You need a ton of double A's.
That's true.
That's it. Yeah, yeah. A lot of 9 volts, too. No, actually, most of the solutions look like a bunch of car batteries lined up in a row, which looks like you're a terrorist. I mean, it just if you have that many batteries in your basement or in, well, we live in Florida, so I'm the only one with a basement, but yeah. Most people would be in their attic or somewhere else or their garage. It looks weird, and it obviously takes up a lot of space. These power walls, which first off, can I say, I love the power wall. It's so bad. I'll just leave that one there for a minute. Yeah. They are really sexy looking. They look like sports cars hanging on the side of your wall.
But they're batteries.
But they're batteries.
Why don't you just get a Tesla Roadster and hook that up to your house?
They're pretty expensive.
I know. I'm kidding.
But, I mean, that's a great price, too, starting out at $3,000. I mean.
Yeah, that is surprisingly cheap.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't afford one to put in my house.
Well, yeah.
But,
I mean... For somebody who's a homeowner, though, $3,000, especially somebody who, you got to figure their market is people who already have solar power or possibly wind power or whatever. You know, so they've already made an investment, and this is just going to make it even more valuable. So this was a brilliant idea for him to do. And also, I mean, they're making batteries for the cars, and the more batteries they can make, the more that research and development cycle advances where batteries can get better and better and better. So I'm excited. This is really cool stuff.
Cool.
So either of you looking at getting one? No.
I don't own a house.
Oh, well, yeah, that would.
I live in a cardboard box.
That is 100% true.
But it is solar powered.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's true. I mean, it does get warmed by the outside.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
All right. Well, I guess that's it for tonight or today or whenever you're listening to this show. If you have a suggestion, give us a call. It's 1-888-972-9868. Or you can just leave us a comment, you know, call us names, whatever you want to do. Or you can always send us an email to feedback@deemable.com. And don't forget to help us decide what stories we talk about on the show. Go to our subreddit page and submit a story, vote other stories up or down. Deemable.com/reddit will take you there. I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
I'm Sean Birch.
And this is Deemable Tech. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back. I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
I'm Sean Birch.
And this is Deemable Tech. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.
This has been a production of WJCT Public Broadcasting. To find out more, visit us online at wjct.org.